The following shiur has been presented by Harav Yisrael Reisman, Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva Torah Vadas, and is brought to you by the Beis Avad Halacha Center.
Bava Kama Dat Chaf Hei.
The learning of tonight's shiur should be discussed from the neshama of Chava Bas Rav Yaakov Golding, whose yahrzeit is tonight, Tezayin Ador Sheni.
Perikit Zayin, we're at Pasuk Yud Aleph. And tonight, Leil Purim Mishulash, our hearts go out to the Jewish community in Teaneck, who are mourning this week's terrible tragedy in which a fire killed a number of young Bnei Yisrael, young children. On the Yom Tif, where we recognize that Hester Panim tragedies are really a litayv, we're challenged to feel with them. You'll join in being mispalel that their mother, Eliza Bas Yehudis, should have a refuah shalema, refuah san nefesh, refuah san guf, b'sef sh'or chayla Yisrael.
Amen.
And tonight, Pasuk Yud Aleph, we began last week. Tonight we will deal with on a different level. Kairei dagar v'lo yalad oisa oisher v'lo b'mishpat. Here in the Nevuah of Baruch HaGever Ashi Yiftach Hashem, the Nevuah of Bitachayim, Yirmiyah gives Musar to the people of his generation about their dishonesty. Oiseh Oisher V'loi B'mishpat, to look to become wealthy without justice by being dishonest. And he compares them to Kairei Dagar V'loi Yalot. What is a Dagar? It's a bird. Rashi says, what kind of bird? So Drashi, Kuku Balaz. Those who don't have a Navi in front of you think I'm making this up. Rashi says, Kuku Balaz, it's a cuckoo bird. Kaira Daga Vala Yalad, it doesn't have chickens, and it calls as if to its chickens. And it's baloney, it doesn't have baby birds. The same thing, Isa Isha Vala Bemishbad, a man who gets wealth dishonestly. It's false. There's no blessing in a dishonest riches. At the end, he'll be terribly disappointed. Tonight, we have a study of Isa Isha Vablai Bemishbat. A study of honesty. Because honesty, contrary to what people think, it's not just that you decide to be honest, and it remains that way. A person has to work on it. It doesn't come by itself. I always used to hear at a bar mitzvah, they used to wish the bar mitzvah boy, he should grow up to be an erlich hayid. An erlich hayid? He should be an honest Jew. I used to think, how strange? That's all? A bar mitzvah boy, he should wish him, he should be a godly Israel, he should be a big Talmud Chacham. Erlich hayid, an honest Jew? No. As life goes on, I've discovered that it's a big bracha to be an erlich hayid, to be honest in everything you do, is very challenging. And tonight, I'd like to point out what I see as the challenge, the chesaron, and that is that every human being has a sense of fairness. I'm talking about people who are not looking to be crooks or dishonest. People who decide and mean it, they want to always do things, be yashrus in an honest way. What is honesty? Honesty, we assume we know inside what it is. We have a sense of fairness, a sense of what's right. Kachim hadvarim. However, when it comes to money, the Shulchan Aruch, Chayshe Mishpat, tells us what's correct. There are many things at first glance that the halacha would seem one way in Maminis. And when you look in Shulchan Aruch, you see you're wrong. But people don't look in Shulchan Aruch. When it's their money, they paskin based on their feelings. And it's not so. Tonight, I'm going to discuss with you a number of examples of this. Cases, Chayshe Mishpat cases. And my purpose tonight is twofold. A, to impress upon you this message that honesty, financial integrity, is based on halacha, based on what halacha tells us is right. And B, Agav, you will be learning a number of Yediyas in Hilchas Chayshe Mishpat. The Limud itself is valuable. But as I said, my thought is more the bigger picture. And the example I always give when discussing this as the first example of how Chayshe Mishpat is not always what seems fair to you is the example of someone who takes a jackhammer and makes a pit, digs a hole in the middle of Ocean Parkway. He goes, takes some friends, they make a deep hole in the middle of Ocean Parkway, stand on the side, and a car comes by, bang, falls right into the hole, and the car is totaled. Now these fellows that dug the hole are Rishoyim, no question. Do they have to pay for the car? Everyone will say, well, they have to pay for the car. They dug a hole, Bar Mishus or Rav, of course they have to pay. Yet the halacha is chamor v'loy kelim. Barbishus Arabim doesn't have to pay for destroying kelim. For kelim that are destroyed. You want to know why? You want to know is it right? Everything you want to know. But the halacha, it's a gemara. Chamor v'loy kelim. A memayit that bar is pata from kelim. Now that's a chayk. It's a chayk. But it's an example. It's an example of the fact that Lamaisa, Chayshin Mishpat, depends on Shulchan Aruch. And that is what is the criteria that decides, are you honest? Are you not honest? If you feel Mamina should be a certain way, and based on that you're angry at someone, or you pressure someone to pay you, and it's Shalai Api Din, you're a Ganiv, a full Ganiv, Oysher V'loi B'Mishpat. Let's go through a few examples. A nisayon hashchiach, a very common nisayon in our neighborhoods. Someone is selling a home. He sells a home, someone comes to see it, someone decides they want it, and there's an agreement. No money changed hands, but there's an agreement to sell to a certain person. Fine. Both sides agree, they come home afterwards, and, as happens quite often, a person gets a phone call. Someone says to him, you sold the house, I'll offer you $20,000 more. And the sayin. He says, look, I didn't sign any contracts, I didn't take any money, there was no deposit, there was nothing. So it's very common for people to want to back out. In Shulchan Aruch it says that someone who backs out of an oral agreement, if there was a handshake, that's a kinyan, that's mechayev. But an oral agreement, someone who backs out, the Shulchan Aruch calls mechusrei amuna. He lacks faith. He's a not trustworthy person. And that means that while Beis Din can't force you to follow through, once you have a firm oral agreement, it's binding. It's binding on you. Chazal bring the pasuk She'eris Yisrael la yasu avla v'la yedabru chazav. She'eris Yisrael, Jews, even in the generation of Yemais HaMashiach, will stick with this. La yasu avla la yedabru chazav. Their word is worth something. Is it worth $20,000? I hope so. Because lasad lavai, your word carries weight, and $20,000 is meaningless. Let me tell you a story. This is a phone call I received from a Yid, an Erlich Yid. He told me he sells commercial real estate. He's a broker. And that's his parnasa. He's not a rich man. He makes a parnasa. Someone called him and told him, I inherited a home in Borough Park. I live in New Jersey. I'd like you to sell it for me. He said, me, I deal in commercial real estate. I don't deal in residential real estate. He said, nevertheless, I know you're honest. Here I live 150 miles away. I can't keep my eye on what's going on. You go and you take care of the sale. He said, okay. He took the address, the information. How much do you want for it? He says, I heard you can get $1 million now for a home in Borough Park. $1 million, fine. Hangs up the phone. He remembers he has a friend. Wants to buy a home in Borough Park. So he picks up the phone. He calls this friend. He says, you know, I heard that you were looking for a house in Borough Park. I have a place on this street, this avenue. How big is the lot? Tells him the lot is 60 by 100. 60 by, how much does he want? $1 million. Says, $1 million, you got it. I didn't even show it to you yet. Doesn't matter, I'm going to build on it anyway. That block, this, you got it. It's an agreement? It's an agreement. Fine. He comes into his place of work. He walks in. He tells him, you know, today I made big money from two phone calls. Two phone calls. Someone called me, I called someone, I'm going to get whatever it is, 4%, 5%. I made $40,000, $50,000, two phone calls. He's laughing. I say, yeah, what? Tell me the story. I got one call. This fellow inherited a house. He wants to sell it for $1 million. I made another phone call. He wants to buy it for $1 million. Bang. Finished. He's smiling. The other fellas tell him, a lot in Borough Park, 60 by 100, for $1 million? You can get $2 million for that. Big deal. Of course he wants to buy it. I says, really? This fellow calls me. He says, listen, I just realized he said $1 million. You know what I could do? I could buy it for $1 million myself. I'll call back the seller. I'll tell him I'll buy it for $1 million and I'll resell for $2 million. I'll make $1 million profit. Bang, bang. He says he wants to know if it's right. Now, the fact that he called is a chiddush in the first place. He told me, don't think I'm a rich person. I had $1 million. I don't make $1 million just like this. Tell me what the din is. I told him, I can't answer you on the spot, such a shaila. Give me some time. I'll be ma'ayin. What's the halacha? How do you decide what the halacha is? You take out a chayshin mishpat. And you look at Shulchan Aruch. Immediately, I started to think that no one is allowed to buy it for $1 million. It's a no. It's a $2 million property for $1 million. Except those of you who learned Gemara and the sugis know what's a din. Ein oinah bekarkois. By karka, there's no din oinah. However, the Ramban says that ein oinah bekarkois means b'dieved. If a sale already took place, and then you realized that it was a mistake in pricing, ein oinah bekarkois. L'chatchila, though, it's cheating. It's dishonest. And I called this person back, and I told him this nekuda, that he's got to go back to the original seller. Not only can't he buy it, he shouldn't sell it to the first buyer either, and go back to the original seller and tell him, I got to buy a few for $2 million, or whatever he gets. What would you do? What would you do in such a case? What would you do in such a nisayon? Would you have that strength? Oiseh oisher v'loi b'mishpat. It's a big nisayon. Especially when you can tell yourself it's not really so bad, it's not really so terrible. Oiseh oisher v'loi b'mishpat. $1 million. Chazal say, yesh koina olamai b'shoa achas. Some people are koina olam haba in a moment. Mi yodea. Who knows? But again, the lesson is chayshin mishpat. If it's said in halacha, ein oinah l'karkois is l'chatchila, it'll be a different psak. It doesn't say that. The Ramban says it, Rabbi Kivega brings it, and that's the halacha. The second story. This is a story that Rav Palm used to say that he heard from his father, and that the story took place with Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan. I've seen it printed with other gedolim. It's one of those nice stories that gets printed in different names. But it's a perfect example of what I'm driving at tonight. Maisa Shahaya Kachaya. This is the story. It was a couple This goes back 120 years ago. A couple that had a business. A retail business in a small shtetl. And the way the business worked was on the Yom HaShuk in the big city, there was a market day. They would go and purchase large amounts of merchandise, and they would sell it over the year. A half a year later would be another Yom HaShuk, a market day in the next town. They do the same thing. The husband minded the store, and the wife traveled to the big city, to the market, to buy. You understand? No checks, no credit cards. She took along a large amount of money, all their savings, to buy merchandise for half a year. She came to the market. She's going from one place to the other, looking for the best price, the best merchandise. And suddenly she lets out a cry and a wail. Her money is missing. She lost her money. She had her money in her pocket or in a bag. It's missing. And she starts screaming and running all over the market. My money, my money. Who found my money? I lost all our money. They took whatever cash they had to buy merchandise. She's screaming and wailing to no avail. That evening, a man comes to her. It says to her, I think I found your money. But listen, I'm a very poor man. I'm poorer than you. The halacha is that if somebody finds an aveda, it's hari elu shalai, mois mefuzar and hari elu shalai. Especially, you lost the money in a street that's roivakal, that's mostly people who would not return it. You're miyayish. The halacha is that I could keep it. Now, if the halacha is I have to give it back, I'll give it back. If the halacha is I could keep it, I'm sorry. I have a family too. And if legally it's mine, I'd like to keep it. We'll go to any rav you want. So she went, hysterical, she went to a rav in the town. And the rav listens to both sides. He says, what should I do? He's right. If a person loses money in a shuk, in a marketplace that's mostly Gentiles, who will not return it, the person is miyayish, even the person screams and hollers. But in the heart, the person realizes it's unlikely they'll get it back. And bang, you're out the money. And she carried on. He said, what should I do? Is it right for me to give it to you? Lamaisa, I have a poor family too. She wouldn't let up. She went to a second rav, a third rav. They all told her, this is the halach. Till finally, she went to Rav Yitzchak Elchanan. So Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan listens to the Shaila. He tells the man, you have to give her back all the money. And he says, why? It's a Beferisha Mishnah, Beferisha Halacha. You lose money, even by Rav Yisrael, if you lose money, Stam Azay, it's also, unless the minion is a sinner, Stam, you lose money, it's also not you don't have to return it, but certainly by Rav Goyim. So Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, 1 minute. There's a halacha. Whose money is it? Kol ma shekare isha kana baila. This money, legally, belongs to the husband. Now, if I lose something that belongs to someone else, and I'm miyayish, that doesn't do anything. The owner of the money has to be miyayish. The owner of the money has to give up hope of getting it back. The owner of the money wasn't aware of it. Baruch Hashem, there were no telephones. And he wasn't even aware of it. He didn't know anything about it. It's you, Shalai Midas, those of you who learned the sugya. If he had known, he certainly would have given up hope. But we paskin you, Shalai Midas, loy have a yush, like a bayi. And therefore, it's not a yush. And therefore, you have to give back the money. The kachasa, and he gave it back. That's the halacha. You see? How halacha turns on the Psak HaShulchan Aruch. How halacha turned, and Rabbanu made a mistake. Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, you need Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan to see it the way it was. It should be such a mussar. How when we quickly decide that mominis, that financial dealing should be a certain way, mi idea, chayshin mishpat is so hard, you have to sit in harava to be able to know a correct Psak. Try another one. This is a good one. Does this happen by us in yeshiva? Let me be magdim, another halacha. A ganif. If a Jew calls another Jew a ganif, a yidden, that's a terrible curse. You're a ganif! A ganif. Terrible curse, a ganif. There are some people who think they're erlich a yidden. And they're ganovim. How so? Logically, you're not going to agree with me. But Shulchan Aruch. The Gemara says, in the beginning of Ezra Neshech, that there's a Riboy Hakra, which teaches us that if someone steals something from someone else for a joke, he's a ganav, he's over on the signai. If you steal something, you're sitting in shul, the fellow next to you has got something in front of him and he turns around and you swipe it just for a joke, you're not going to keep it. You're a ganav. You have a din ganav. Kafim advarim. You're not allowed to steal just for a joke. Now you might feel he'll be meichel you and Yeshua will be meichel. Some people steal from children. It's a game. Some places, the child has a candy, turns around, you take away the candy. Geneva, that's a ganav. A child can't even be meichel. That's geneva, that's leisignai, vaganav. So let me tell you a story. In the dorm in our yeshiva, there was a fellow who had an expensive camera. I don't know exactly, $200, $300, $400 camera. And one evening he put the camera down on his desk in the dorm and he went to take a shower. There were a couple of friends there in the room. They were schmoozing, as occasionally happens in dormitories. They were in a light simchatika mood, it was probably Adar. And one of them said, "Ah, he left his camera, let's take the camera." And one of them took the camera, hid it in one of his drawers, and the three of them sat there and kept on schmoozing. The fellow came back from the shower, comes in, he sees his camera's not there. Usually, you think, oh, I put it there, he starts looking here, he starts looking there. The three of them, still keeping a straight face, are sitting in the corner schmoozing, and he's going bananas, he's looking all over the place. Did you see my camera? Did you see my camera? Maybe I left it somewhere else. He runs out, he comes in. In the meantime, the ganav also stepped out for a minute. So one of the friends, the other, sat there, he told this camera owner. He says, "Listen, you know, Shlomi stole it." He didn't say stole it. He said, "Shlomi played a joke. He took it. He put it in his drawer." And they run over. He runs over. He sees his camera's back up there. Now, this took place shortly after this young man had learned a certain sugya. And that sugya, as it's brought down in Simin Aleph of Cheshem Mishpat, states, Lehaloch, that even though nowadays there's no kefel, kefel means that if someone's a thief, Bezdin makes him pay back double. There's no kefel bizman hazeh. But we paskin that tfisa mahani on kefel, which means that if someone stole from you, you are allowed to take back from him double what he took from you. You're allowed to take back kefel. And certainly if there were edim on the geneva, as they were in this case. So this fellow, a light bulb went off. You must have been able to see it in the room. He said, "Wow, he stole my camera." He took his camera. And he went and he took some of his friend's other things. He took, I don't know, his tape recorder, some other things that belonged to him, and he took them as well. The fellow came in. So he tells him, "Ha-ha, joke's on me. Joke's on you. Finahapachu. Ha-ha. I got my money back, and I got more of your money back, and we'll ask a shayla." And he's right. He's right. Al pi din, someone steals from you, he's a ganif. You're allowed to be tayface, kefil. You're allowed to take back double what he stole. Now, if at the end of the story he gave back the other things, is academic. But the story is a nice story for two reasons. First of all, it helps you remember a sif in Shulchan Aruch. That tfisa helps on chayave kenosais. Tfisa helps bizmanazah. And secondly, the yisai that we're learning tonight. Being honest depends on piskei halachis on Shulchan Aruch. And if Shulchan Aruch paskins a certain way, kach heim hadvar. Go on to another Chayshin Mishpat example. Mechila. Mechila ain't Tzricha Kenyan. That means, if in any situation you're in, someone owes you something, money, merchandise, if you're Meichel, if you decide in your heart firmly, not if you think maybe, if you make a firm decision to be Meichel him, Mechila ain't Tzricha Kenyan. Mechila does not require any type of formal way of finalizing it. Mechila is Mechila. And that's a Sif Shulchan Aruch. The whole Sif is Mechila ain't Tzricha Kenyan. I once mentioned an example of this, where a person buys milk in a grocery store, he comes home, and it's sour, and he says it doesn't pay for a dollar or two to run back to the grocery store, decides he's going to spill it out, and he's machlit b'libah, he decides that's it. And then a minute later, one of his kids is going to the store anyway, he says, here, take the milk, return it. Too late. Mechila ain't Tzricha Kenyan. Now you all realize right away that that's if the man of the house is Meichel. If the wife of the house is Meichel, what's the din? Yechat? Understand? Mechila doesn't help. Or the children? But the person who has a din bailus, a din of ownership, that Mechila helps. So let me tell you a great story. Best stories are true. Maise shehaya kachaya. Again, I heard this on the phone. Someone tells me the following. He says, I have a friend, we grew up together. We grew up together, went to yeshiva together, neighbors. We got older. And we both, each of us, went our own way into business. And I, the caller, we'll call him Reuven, was matzliach in my business. I do very well. Baruch Hashem, I have a good parnasa, I have money in the bank. My friend, however, is struggling. He's not doing that well. So it happened some years after we were married. My friend had to make his first bar mitzvah. He called me. He said, you know, I can't afford to make a bar mitzvah. Could you lend me $5,000? He said, no problem. Very happy. It's a good friend of his. He wrote him out a check. He gave him $5,000 as a loan. The person told him right away, I don't know when I'll be able to pay you back. He said, don't worry. A few years later, he made a second bar mitzvah. So he called him. He said, you know, I have to make another bar mitzvah. I can't do less than my other son. I need five, maybe $10,000. No problem. He lent him the money. He has three sons. Third bar mitzvah, same thing, no problem. B'lei gomer, he lent him the money. Then, chasen has started. The person calls with his first chasana. He says, you know, Reuven, you've been nice to me all along. I'm sorry I don't have the money to pay you, but I have to make chasana. I don't have money. Is it a big deal for you to lend me $15,000, $20,000? He tells him, no, it's fine. I'll give you, lend you the money. I know people want to know this guy's phone number. He says, fine, you're an old friend of mine. I'll give you the $20,000. Don't worry, you'll pay me when you can. And this went on 6, 7, 8 times. So Reuven tells me, you know, I don't remember if the fifth or sixth time, you know, I told my wife, you know, keeps on borrowing, keeps on saying, I don't know when I'm going to pay you back. You realize, we're not going to get paid back. He's a good friend. We grew up together. Why should I have money? He doesn't have money. Let him have the money so he won't be paid back. We understand. Shine, we're giving it to him in a manner of covet, in an honorable way. Call it a loan. Next chasana, here ready when he heard the other person had a daughter that was engaged. He just wrote out a check. And, you know, I said, no problem. He sent him the loan. So Reuven tells me, today, I was shocked. I get a phone call. And this time again, he has to borrow money, which didn't shock me. And then he says, I bet you think you'll never get paid back. He said, well, yeah, I was thinking that. So he says, well, you know, next year I'm going to be 59 and a half years old. And I've been putting away money in an IRA all the years, me and my wife. And next year, We're going to be allowed to take out the money, and we're going to pay you back every single penny. I have a rich man in my shul who said this story can't be true. Every single penny? That's what he told me. So this fellow calls me, he asks me, am I allowed to take it? Am I permitted to take it or not? I was Michael. If I was Michael, can I take it or not? So again, I told him, let's look it up. We Taka looked it up. Mechila b'peh, whatever he told his wife, he's Michael. No shayla. It's a mechila. Mechila b'leiv, whatever in his heart he decided to be Michael, is that mechila? How do I know? Simple. You take out a Shulchan Aruch. You look, the Tzais and the Sivis, both of them in the beginning of Simin Yud Bey is right. Mechila b'leiv is not a mechila. It's enough of a chiddush. Mechila ain't tzricha kenya, mechila b'peh. So lemaisa, whatever he told his wife in a lashon muchlet, lashon of certainty that he's Michael, that mechila. Whatever loans there were that he didn't mention to his wife, that he didn't say he was Michael b'leiv, it's not a mechila. However, zochta nesivis, whatever money he gave, he extended at a moment that he already realized he will never be paid. Money that's given in that manner doesn't even need mechila. It's immediately a kinyan matana. You can't get it back. So he had the job now of going through all the loans and figuring out what is this din, what's that din. But again, what's the point? Two things. First of all, you should know a sif in Shulchan Aruch. Simin Yud Beis, Mechila ain't Tzricha Kenya. And a ksais and a sivis, Mechila b'leiv is not a Mechila, only b'peh. However, more than that, you see how the halacha turns on what it says in Shulchan Aruch. How you should be nayig depends on what? Depends on the Shulchan Aruch, on the Chayshim Mishpat. The way it works. Another story. Again, really happened. Interesting shaila. I love the shailas that bring back things you learned about in the yeshiva days. A fellow tells me he was in a car service today. And he got into the car service, he got into the back seat. Lying on the floor was an envelope, a plain blank envelope. He picks it up. $600 inside. He thought for a minute whether he should tell the driver about it. And then he put it in his pocket and decided if he tells the driver about it, he's going to say, it's my money, I dropped it, he'll demand it back. Decided, he took down the license plate number, came home, and he asked the shayla. Which right away is a chiddush. He asked the shayla. He decided to ask a shayla when he put in his pocket no chiddush. But after he got home and the car drove away, he still decided to ask chiddush. What's the din? How do you decide such a thing? You know how? Take out a chayshim mishpat. And listen to the way it seems to me, the way the halacha plays itself out. As you know, car services in our area come in two versions. There are some where the auto belongs to the driver. It's his own car. If it's his own car, and he's driving it, that's his arrangement with the car service. There are some which come where the driver does not have his own car. He drives the car that belongs to the car service. I suppose they make some accommodation in how much he gets paid. So sometimes the car belongs to the nahag. You know what nahag means? The balargola belongs to the driver. And there are times that it belongs to the car service. What's the difference? Let's see. The halacha is, you all know, I suppose, that a person's chotzer, a person's property, is kaina loy shaloy midaitoy. If you have a backyard, and something that's hefker, an aveda, something blows into your backyard, it's yours, even though you don't know about it. Chatzera ishal adam, your property is kind of for you. The same thing. kelav shel adam. My, something I own, a keli of mine, an object of mine, which is in a rishus harabim or in a simta, it's in a public area, is also kind of for me. Provided that it's what we call a chat mishtameres. That it's in a safe place. It doesn't have to be safe if big thieves would come. But it has to be safe in the normal practice of life. So, let's see. How are we going to decide this halach? If the car belongs to the driver, well, we presume the money fell out of the previous passenger's pocket or purse. The person lost it. It's an aveda. An aveda becomes hefker. Now, was the owner of the car kinder? Well, if the owner of the car is the driver, then the car, after he discharged the passenger, once he discharged somebody, would be a chatzer, a keli, which is a chatzer amishtameres ledaitai. He's driving the car alone. Right now, whatever is in the car is clearly his. And therefore, he's kaina, it becomes his, and you have to return it to him. However, if the car belongs to the car service, the owner of the car is sitting there answering the phone or talking on the walkie-talkie, then when this person got out, the money was in his keli, but it was not mishtameres ledaitai. It was not something that he was watching or that somebody who was paid by him to watch it was watching. That's not called mishtameres ledaitai. And then it remains hefker, and it belongs to the person who found it. Now you may tell me, well, if it's his worker, maybe it is mishtameres ledaitai. It's klar from halacha not that way, because the payel who finds a metzia, it's hari elu shaloi. However, I do have a marim makim. Rav Moshe has a tshuva, it's almost funny, about a man who went to the safe deposit vault in a bank. And there was something on the floor, he quickly picked it up. And afterwards, he looks at it and he sees that it's an expensive ring, a diamond ring. Apparently someone lost it. In Aveda, again in a place that's mostly gay. And he asked Rav Moshe, is it mine? Or does it belong to the bank? So Rav Moshe says, this is what's funny about it, the shaila is the vault a chatzer hamishtameres? Is that called a place that's guarded and safe? And Rav Moshe says, it's not. Because the bank owners aren't there. Who's there? A worker and a bunch of customers. You have to buzz them in, you have to let them in, but what's the difference? It's not mishtameres ledaitai. Hari Elu Shalai. Again, an example of how Shulchan Aruch, so it depends whose car it is, that's what it seems. Would you think of it that way? If you think about fairness, is it fair I should keep it? Fair I should give it to the driver? Most people who found it would think it's just fair to keep it. But Lamaisa, it depends on Shulchan Aruch. Let me give you another story. This story is printed in the introduction to The Pleasant Way, which was written by a member of our Kailul, Rav Shalom Smith, Divrei Torah from Rav Palm. And there's a foreword. And the foreword, which talks about Rav Palm's idea of honesty, begins with a story, which I'll read to you. A member of our Kailul was in a used bookstore, leafing through the books in the Judaica section. He opened one of the used books and was surprised to see a $100 bill tucked into the page. He turned further and found another $100 bill. And then, yet another. Clearly, the store owner was unaware of the money, and since all books were sold as is, it seemed that this would be a book worth buying. But, was it the right thing to do? The young man went straight to the owner of the store and returned the money. Later, he was asked why he was so quick to return the money, and he answered simply, because I am a Talmud of Rav Palm. This is the way the foreword begins. It was written by me. And it happened to a member of HaKadosh. And so, I received a letter from a Chayshe Mishpat Chabura in Lakewood. And they said, Hayitachin, is it really correct? And this is what they asked. There's a Sif in Shulchan Aruch, in Simin Reish Lamed Bey, Sif Yud Ches, which is known from the Hagos Ashri in the second parak of Bava Metzia, which is the source. And there is a story of a man who bought and sold tin. And he bought some type of tin utensil, a tin keli, it doesn't say what type it was, tin box, and he sold it. The buyer somehow discovered that that tin was really silver underneath, had been covered with tin, perhaps to be smuggled in or something, and he discovered that there was silver. He's rich, silver. The person who sold it to him heard that the tin box he sold him was silver. He came back to him. He said, you know, I want to give you back your money. Give me back the box. It's a mekartos. So the Ramah paskins, you don't have to give it back. That middleman bought what he thought was tin and sold it as tin. Since he bought it as tin, he was only kainer to the extent that it's tin. And he sold it as tin. He's not entitled to get it back. In Cain, they asked the same thing here. The used bookstore bought the book as a book. They sold it as a book. He should have kept the $300. He didn't even have to buy the book. Could have just kept it. They were never kind of the $300. This is their time. It may be that they're right, but how do you decide? You open up a Chayshin Mishpat. And there in Simen Reish Lamed Beis, the Nesivis Sivkot Ches writes that this halacha is only true if the thing that was passed on when the middleman has it was what's called Avuda Mikol Ha'olam, or Mikol Adam. It was something that in the natural sequence of events would not be discovered, such as a tin box, which has silver underneath. Could be there for 100 years and no one will discover it. That is when this halacha applies. However, if it's something that would naturally be discovered, in such a case, this din does not apply. I argued, money stuck into a book is something which will naturally be discovered. It's not avuda mikalado. It's not lost from everybody. And therefore, the middleman was kainet. They argued, no. It's the normal behavior of a middleman to not inspect his books. And he wouldn't normally find it. I felt it's avuda mikol adam. It's not avuda mikol adam. The language avuda mikol adam means it won't be discovered. They apparently felt differently. Agav b'derech agadita is a Ralbag that seems to say like them. When Yosef, pretending to be the viceroy of Egypt, gave the brothers bags of wheat and returned their money in the bags, and the brothers discovered it. And when they came back to Yosef, they said, it's your money, it was in the bags. And Yosef said, no, God sent it to you, it's yours. What's pshat? How could Yosef say it's yours? They said, we got a bag of wheat from you, with money in it. Now, if you put the money in, it's certainly yours. You say you don't know anything about it. Obviously, you bought it from the farmer with the money inside, and you sold it to us. So, vayta, it's yours. Dr. Ralbag, no, look in Bava Metzia Chav Beis. Yosef knew that when a middleman gets something, and there's something hidden, and he passes it on, that the middleman is not kainah. So that's why he told them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to you. Now it's hard to picture Yosef and the Shvatim arguing about Pshat and Nesivis at the point where they thought he's the viceroy of Egypt. Shteit Ralbag, which is mashma like them. What's the halacha? Needs research. There are different shuvas on the topic. I know at least one shuva that says the way I was saying in Mishnah Halachis Chelakei, there is a shuva It says, as I said, could be there are other marmakimis differently. Bottom line, it depends on Chayshim Mishpat. And that's the message of this evening, that all of these things, Aisher v'loi b'mishpat, to make money, v'loi b'chayshim mishpat, not al pi halacha is wrong. I'd like to turn from the halacha to an inyan hamachshava about becoming wealthy from other people's money, having other people's money. Many shmuzin about integrity have been heard. I shouldn't say have been heard, have been given. How much people hear is sometimes hard to know. Many shmuzin achayshim mishpat have been given. However, they come usually from an angle of bitachin. Baruch hagev ashiyiftach b'Hashem. Whose money are you taking? Rav Palm had a different, not a stira, certainly. It's a failure in bitachin if you think you become rich from stealing. But Rav Palm had a different angle. About a year ago, Terev Hadass, in conjunction with its dinner, printed in the Hamasifta journal a small kuntris called the Kikapayim, with Rav Palm shmuzin on honesty. And there, Rav Palm said that people have to look at another person's money differently. The Ramchal says that Hashem created the world, lehetiv l'ri Yisav. God created the world. He wants people to have things go well, to have atzlacha. And to the extent that a person's atzlacha does depend on money, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, each person according to what he deserves, according to what's his tafkid, according to what's good for him, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides. HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides. And very often, finances are crucial in a person developing a Simchas HaChayim. Not to have to worry about finances. When you take someone's money, money that belongs to someone else, you're touching not only money that doesn't belong to you, but you're touching on the other person's very life. The life, lahetiv libri yisav. I know everyone thinks that Yena has plenty of money. If everyone had as much money as everyone else thought they had, things would be fine. 90% of people in our rich America, 90% of people have daigas haparnasa, have worries about parnasa. Some more and some less. By and large, people try to hide it. That's the fact. And when you take their money, you're not just taking their money. Ki elav hu naisei es nafshai. Rashi says that if you don't pay a worker on time, elav hu naisei es nafshai, it's like taking his nefesh, taking his blood. Why is he working for you? You think he loves you? He only pretends. He's working elav hu naisei es nafshai. It's nefesh. Ahavas Yisrael, Ahavas Chaverim. Feeling another person's feelings would make it impossible for a person to have financial tightness and tfias on other people. Let me share with you a Chaviz Das, a Nesivis, in his Pirish on the Megillah. Nesivis says that there was a takana of Purim. Kayomim ashenachu behem ha-Yehudim. That we should celebrate Purim, Kayomim, just like they did. Zokt in the Sivis. Really, the takana is that we have to reach such simcha as the joy of that year when the miracle took place, where people felt that they were redeemed, they were saved. That joy is the goal of Purim. And in what form does that joy, what form does it take? Ahavas chaverim. That's what it's all about. Mishlach matanais, matanais levyainim, simchas achayim. You have to realize that if a person is truly happy and rejoicing, imagine someone's rejoicing with safe from etzara, would there be room for petty kepedais, petty differences, complaints. If someone had a few dollars of yours which you thought he had a right to, would it matter if you are besimcha? A person who works on simcha sachayim, on being happy, who puts effort into it, he ends up being a person that doesn't have these types of petty differences. The dollar, or $100, or $1,000, or even $1,000,000. It doesn't kill him to give it up if it's the right thing. If he has a simcha and he understands, the other person is going to lose the million. Someone was in my house Purim night. More than someone was in my house Purim night. Someone told me a Purim vart. I think it's Narishkeit. Total foolishness. But I'm telling it to you because I watch you. Maybe you think it's emes. I want to explain to you why it's foolish. This is the vart he told. He asked the kasha. It says in the Megillah about Achashverosh, Chamasai bar Rabbi. Now it seems that Chamasai, which is translated in the art scroll as anger, Chamasai could also mean a mother-in-law. So he said, not coincidental, the two meanings, you understand. He said, Chamasai bar Rabbi, Achashverosh's mother-in-law is bar Rabbi. And later it says in the Megillah, Chamas HaMelech Shechacha, the mother-in-law of the king was Shechacha Zachastira. One place it says, you understand it's a silly kasha. It says Chamasai, his mother-in-law is Bar Rabbi. Later it says his mother-in-law Chamasai Shechacha, his mother-in-law Shechacha Zachastira. So he said a nice teretz. He said, it says Gam Vashti Amalka Asasa Mishtei Nashim. Vashti Amalka was made from two women. She was two women. So she had already two mothers. So we had two mothers-in-law. That explains why he was so quick to kill her in the whole episode of the story. I told him after he sobered up, I told him today, such a silly kasha. Why? Is there a silly kasha? Does the kasha make sense? What's wrong with the kasha? Nobody knows. I bet you don't know. It's the most ridiculous kasha. Why? Chamasai bar Rabbi is in the first parak of the Megillah. Achashverosh was married to Vashti. Chamasai shchacha is six parakim later. He is married to Esther. So of course he had two different mothers-in-law. One when he was married to Vashti, and one when he was married to Esther. Chamasai shechacha. The whole kasha, I mean, if you hear such a kasha, you immediately realize how ridiculous it is. Make any sense at all? And then I realized that there's something maybe a little to it. You know, there are some chamasai bara by people. Chamasai bara by people whose anger, it just keeps on going. They're angry, they're angry. They can remember something from 10 years ago, and they can get all angry again. And if it's something their wife did, even 20 years. You have the same anger. Chamasai bar Rabbi. There are some people that are chamasai shechacha. Their anger calms down, takes easy. You know, a person who's worthy of marrying Vashti is a chamasai bar Rabbi people. A marvachamara bar Rabbi person. Somebody who's a chamasai shechacha, whose anger could calm down, that's an Esther person. It's an Esther person. That's the difference between chamasai bar Rabbi and chamasai shechacha. Emes of Shat? I don't know if it's Emes of Shat, but it's Emes of Yisayid. The Yisayid is true. It depends how much avas chaveirim there are. The simcha of Purim has to be a simcha of achdus. I don't understand. Purim night, we made a simcha. We danced and sang to the Rabbi Nishaloyal and even ate a little. So there are people who come, there are people who don't come. I don't understand. What's going to be the Yom HaDin? They're going to ask you, you weren't sad enough on Tisha B'Av. You say, it's hard to be sad on Tisha B'Av. It's a big avite. Say, okay. You weren't serious enough on Yom Kippur. Say, you know, Yom Kippur, it's tough. It's not so easy. You know, Yom Kippur, to be happy. They'll tell you, you know, Shavuos, where was the Kabbalah Satayra on Shavuos? You say, you know, I was tired, you know, and all the cheesecakes and the blitzes, you know, you get sidetracked. It's hard. They'll say, where was the Simcha on Purim? What are you going to say? What are you going to say? Where was the Simcha? Where was the joy? It's hard. It's difficult. It's an Avaida. It's a big Avaida. Simcha Sachayim. It's not just the Simcha. Simcha Mazu Aisa. What is the simcha? The simcha is if you're really happy, kayom emashenachu be'ema Yehudim, then yidna one, yidna together, no kapedis, no differences, no problems. It's relatively easy if you have that simchas achayim. Happy people don't have complaints one to the other. And unhappy people have complaints to everyone. You have to get a simchas achayim. Let me tell you a chiddush. You will daven in shuls that have rabbonim. I'm not paskening for you. But I'm making my dia you something. Letting you know, I'm reading from Shalmei Mayed, which is a sefer of psukim from Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, which I believe was collected by one of his close talmidim. And there, in the inyan of Purim HaMeshulash, he has the following shaila. Now listen carefully. Because usually, Purim's avoida, when it's over, it's over. Nishal Rabbeinu b'din tez zayin adar shechol b'yom rishon. They asked a question to Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach about Sunday, about tonight. Ba'orei aprozois, in cities that don't have walls, Yerushalayim is a walled city. Tonight, tomorrow, they're celebrating Purim. We are in Orei aprozois, shu yom gimel mepurim amishulosh b'Yerushalayim. They're celebrating there. Ha'im yesh linoig b'simcha ba'orei aprozois. Shekvar nagu purim v'yayim vav? Do we have a mitzvah of simcha tonight, tomorrow? We are ready when naik simcha on Friday. V'anaf gamina, here you'll perk up. Im yesh leimer tachnon v'yayim zeh. The Siddur says, purim v'shusha purim, you don't say tachnon. Hoira, v'shlein zalman paskin, nohog loy leimer tachnon. Again, I don't want to get in trouble. Each soul has its rav. For Shlomo Zalman paskins that Purim Mishulish is an extension of the Simcha of Purim. Purim Mishulish is a day that you don't say Tachlon. It's a Yom Simcha. Let me tell you a vart that I once heard from one of the Bali Mashon. He said, why do we celebrate Shushan Purim every year? Why are we Sameach? We don't, what does it have to do with us? We live in New York. We live in cities that don't have walls. Why does that have to do Purim? Shushan Purim. And why? There are those who make a big deal. They have the Suda Lay that you go into Shushan Purim. They dance half the night. It's already Oy Shabbos. It's Oy Purim. And he said that really, on some Adrega, V'derech HaMachshava, the celebration of Shushan Purim is greater than Purim. Because Purim, I'm happy. It's my celebration. It's my joy. Me with the rest of Klal Yisrael. On Shushan Purim, on Purim Mishulash, whose celebration is it? It's not my day anymore. But there are Yidden in Yerushalayim, Heilige Yidden, that are celebrating. So we look to sing and dance and be besimcha. If the simcha of Purim is to feel an achdus of Klal Yisrael, all the more so, it should be that way. And so, tonight, we made arrangements for some of you to pay back your chayvais. Baruch Hashem, I have a good yedid, musician, Yitzchak Fuchs, who has agreed to set himself up behind the mechitza. Mu'uvas yuchal l'shalim. Don't leave here tonight until you feel a simcha of being a yid, a simcha of yidin together. Join me in being misameach with the Purim Mishulash. We should have a year, it should be mashpia on the whole year, it should be a year of simcha sachayim, menucha sanefesh, for all of Klal Yisrael. I hope he's there, and I hope he begins. Afreilucha, Purim Mishulash.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.